This is episode 19 of season 5 of the Bad Apples. Hi everyone, my name is Klaatu and I'm in a sound booth. No, really, I'm in a sound booth. It's completely shielded from outside noise and it has no echo. It's completely padded. It's really, really cool. I've been doing a lot of work in this sound booth for the past couple of days for one of my jobs, and so I just figured since it's after hours now, I would just hang out and record something in the sound booth myself. So here I am recording in the sound booth. So this is going to be the best quality of a Bad Apple episode pretty much ever, except that I'll compress it so much that you won't probably even notice. But if you wonder about not hearing traffic in the background or anything strange like that, that would be why. I am in a sound booth, so all noise is my own. So in this episode, we're going to talk about DocBook. So DocBook, first of all, what is DocBook? Well, DocBook is not an application, even though people kind of talk about it like it is. You know, they say things like, oh, I'm writing this manual in DocBook. Well, that's more, it's almost like a language. Specifically, it's actually a set of XML schema. It exists to tell external tools what to do with this document that you've written, quote unquote, in DocBook. So it's a lot like saying HTML, or rather XHTML, or something akin to that. So if you listened to the episode in this season, and I don't remember the episode number exactly, it's probably like 14 or 12 or something, or possibly 11, then it wasn't 13, I can tell you that. Then you'll get a good feel for everything about XML. I went through XML in that episode fairly well, detailed it, talked about it, told you a lot of different aspects about XML, and I did discuss schema in that episode. So if you're not clear on what a schema is, then go back and listen to that episode. Otherwise, we can all pretty much just kind of vaguely recall everything and just kind of agree that, okay, XML is a markup language, and so that means that it's just like that old school HTML that you used to know. You open up the tag HTML, and then you go into, what, the header, and then you put in a title, and then you close the header, you open the body tag, and then you have paragraph tags, and you have divs, and image source, and ahrefs, things like that. So you have these tags, and then you close the body, and then you close the HTML. And that's an HTML document, right? Well, in DocBook, it's actually really similar. And if you go and say, okay, I'm going to write something in DocBook, then you will find yourself opening up a text editor, and it can be pretty much any of the four text editors that Linux has available to it, which, of course, are Vim, Emacs, Kate, and Kwrite. Open up a book tag in this case, because it's DocBook. So you say, okay, book. And then you open up a chapter tag, for instance. So you open up chapter, and then you open up a title tag to give that chapter a title. And so you say title, the GNU General Public License, for instance. And then you close the title. And then you open up a para tag. Now, the para tag is akin to the P tag in HTML. It's para in DocBook. So P-A-R-A. And then you write the text that you want to write. In this case, it would be the licenses for most software and other practical works are designed to take away your freedom to share and change the works. By contrast, the GNU General Public License is intended to guarantee your freedom to share and change all versions of a program to make sure it remains free software for all its users. And you could go on and on. Of course, we won't. And then you close your para tag. So slash para, and then let's say we're finished, so then you do a slash chapter, and then let's say we're really, really finished, and then let's say slash book. So then you've got all your little tags that you've opened, and then you've closed your tags, and so now you've got essentially a DocBook document. What to do with that DocBook document, of course, is a completely different question. But that would be DocBook. Now you've written something in DocBook. So let me give you a couple of different links, first of all. That's not the end of the tutorial, by the way. But I did want to just kind of give you some things to check out in the future. There is a great little ebook, and it is free, and it's under the GNU free documentation license, if I recall correctly. I could be wrong on that, so don't quote me or anything, but I mean, it is free. I know that it's legally free, and it's called DocBook Crash Course. So the DocBook Crash Course is by a couple of different people: David Ruge, Mark Galassi, and Eric Bischoff. And I don't know where you can find it. I did look on the interwebs, and I couldn't find exactly, like, where this book came from. I don't even remember how I found it, to be honest. But it's a great, great book. It gives you a really good brief intro to how to write DocBook. It gives you a somewhat okay intro. I mean, in my humble opinion, I don't mean to talk poorly of it. I'm just saying that you might want to keep listening to this episode if you want to hear how to deal with DocBook, in my words. It gives you a fine introduction on how to get your DocBook document out into HTML, and I think it covers, I mean, I know it covers PDF as well, so you got that, and it's really good to check out because it also gives you some of the most common tags, like the book, the chapter, para, article, screenshot. Check that book out, it's very good. I'm going to have to throw it up online myself at slackermedia.info/downloads.html, so I'll do that soon, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And it is a free document, so I'm allowed to do this. I'm redistributing it, and it's not by me. I've never been involved with these people. I don't know them, but it's a very good document. So check that one out. That's a good one for the beginning kinds of stuff. The other one that you're going to want to check out is the DocBook Definitive Guide. That is found at docbook.org. And I think it's /TDG, that's Tango Delta G, as in George, I don't really know the official letter for that, or the name for that one, 5151, as in 5.1, /en/html/docbook.html. And that actually has the entire reference of DocBook schema, version 5.1, and I think it's got the other versions on there as well. And it's great. It's hyperlinkable. It's hyperlinked document. It's got every single tag you could ever want. You click on that tag, and it'll take you to a different page, and it tells you, you know, what kind of tag this is, what it's used for. It gives you an example, a little code example. It tells you what tag it's permitted to have contained within it. It tells you what tag it's typically a child of. It's really great. So check that out. It's the definitive guide, and that's very good to be aware of. It's typically, like, now that it used to be, like, when I first started working in DocBook, I would always have the Crash Course open on another desktop in a PDF reader, because you could just always click over to it and look and see what, you know, how do you do a list again? Is it an ordered list? Is it an itemized list? And does the para tag go inside or outside of the list item tag and all these other things? Now that I've got pretty much all that stuff figured out, now I have the definitive guide open on a desktop, and it's really, really wonderful. You might not want to start with it from day one, but it is something good to keep in mind for later. Okay, so what do we got? We got a DocBook file with a book tag and a chapter tag and a para tag and everything like that. So now what do you do with it? Well, first of all, you need to make sure that you have DocBook installed. And again, DocBook isn't an application, but it is a set of schema. And if your computer doesn't have that schema set on it somewhere, then when you go to manipulate it, no program is going to understand what you want to do with this document. It's not going to know what DocBook is. It has no way to interpret the markup tags that you've been using. So you need to get the DocBook schema on your computer. Now, there's obviously a lot of different ways to do this because we're dealing with GNU Linux, so choice is everywhere. So the first choice that you might have is, let's say you're an artist, you want a good distribution for, you know, an artist, someone doing a lot of multimedia work. You've heard about this one distribution called Slacker Media, so you go to the website, which is not written in DocBook yet, but will be very soon, and you check out Slacker Media. You like it. You install Slackware and start adding all this other stuff to it, and you think, well, now I want to do some DocBook stuff. Well, guess what? Because you chose Slackware as your distribution, it has it already. So if you look in /usr/share/xml/docbook/xml-dtd, that's Delta Tango Delta -4.5/docbook-x.dtd, that's Delta Tango Delta, then there it is. That's your DocBook path right there. It's your what? It's your docbook path. So you need to know your docbook path, because in every single document that you do in docbook, you're going to need to put the docbook path in the header, in the very, very top of your document. And we'll go exactly what you need to put in there, but that's part of it, and that's a big part of it. And if you're on a workstation at home that doesn't ever move, and that's where you write, and that's where you do all of your docbook stuff, then that's going to be very, very standard, and you're not going to really ever have to think about this whole docbook path other than just finding it out once and then not really ever thinking about it again. On the other hand, if you're a little bit more like me and you're on one computer one day and then you're on another computer later in that same day and then you're on another computer later in that same day, and the reason I do that, by the way, is because at work I have one computer, and then I go to a cafe and I've got another a computer, and then that battery dies, and so then I go over to my netbook. So that's at least three computers during one day. And so if I'm doing docbook work on all three computers, then, you know, the docbook path changes. So you really do need to be aware of what your docbook path is, and you might have to really, really be aware of it, like, a lot during a day if you switch computers a lot with different distributions. So, and I go from, like, Ubuntu at work to Slackware to sometimes, like, Fedora. So, yes, it gets fun. So you got Slackware at /user/share/XML/docbook/XML-delta-tango-delta-4.5. And then the actual schema itself is /docbookx.delta-tango-delta. That's it. That's what you need to know. Let's say you were crazy and you're using a Ubuntu system. Give you sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, perhaps. Well, theirs is going to be, well, you need to install it, first of all, quite possibly. So you want to do a sudo apt-install docbook-xml, docbook-dssl, docbook-xsl. Those three things, I believe all you actually need is docbook-xml. So you can install that, and that should drop docbook.x.delta-tango-delta in the path /share/xml/docbook/schema/dtd/4.4.docbookx.delta-tango-delta. So that's your docbook path for your Ubuntu machine. Let's say you're doing a Fedora. Actually, I don't have that in front of me, so you'll have to look for it. But again, it's somewhere in /user/either local share or share, and then somewhere in like an XML folder, or a docbook folder in the XML folder, or an XML folder in the docbook folder, or an XML and docbook folder in a schema folder. You know, it's just however they decide to set the system up, and however they make the path, that's what they do, but it could be different each time. But Fedora, one cool thing about Fedora is that all you need to do for basically everything we are going to do in this episode is install one package, and it's called Publican. So if you do an /su /c/yum install publican, P-U-B-L-I-C-A-N, close quote, you'll get, potentially it'll be like 100 megabytes of software, depending on if you installed initially from like a live CD, it's going to have to bring in a whole bunch of stuff, but it's all worth it, trust me. It's got docbook schemas, it's got a ton of docbook tools that you're going to need eventually. Now, some of those docbook tools, just because this is how they are, they do rely on Java. It's not a GUI thing, you're not going to have to deal with like Java GUI or anything, but it does use the Java language, and you're going to do a command line thing that processes stuff through Java. So, you know, you may be pulling a lot of Java stuff down along with Publican, but you're going to, I mean, on any distribution, you're going to be doing that, because there's a couple of tools that we're going to use that will require that. So just be aware of that. But it is a really nice install, and it just comes with a whole bunch of docbook stuff. It's really, really nice. Let's say you're on FreeBSD. That one is going to be, again, you have to install it yourself. You go over to /usr/ports/textproc/docbook-450. You do your make install clean thing, and then your resulting docbook path will be /usr/local/share. Why local? Well, because you installed it. It didn't come on the system. So /usr/local/share/xml/docbook/4.5/docbookx.delta-tango-delta. So if you've done that on whatever distribution or brand of Unix or non-Unix, or Unix-like operating system you are currently running, then you have the DocBook schemas installed. And guess what? If your distribution or OS of choice doesn't make it that easy, then you can always go to the source code page, which I always like to talk about anyway, because it's kind of important, because this is where it actually comes from. So yes, I know it seems to live in the repository, or just it came on your computer, but it also has a home, and you can find that at docbook.org/xml/4.5/docbook-xml-4.5.zip. So the main site is obviously docbook.org. But if you want to just download like the not the latest, but like I guess the latest stable one would be 4.5 maybe. I'm not really sure, but I've been using 4.5. I haven't advanced into 5 at all. So not that I'm an expert or anything, but just FYI. And I'm getting by fine with 4.5. So now that zip is a zip bomb. So if you unzip it, it will spew files all over your current directory. So you'd probably want to change directory and move this into somewhere like /user/local, because you are doing this yourself, so keep it in local, /share/xml/docbook/4.5 or whatever. So move it in there and then unzip it there, and bang, it unzips, it spews the files all over the folder, but who cares? That's where you wanted it anyway, and so now wherever you are, do a pwd, that's your path, and then append docbook x.deltadangodelta on it, which you'll see there in the directory, and now you know your docbook path. Got it? I'm sure you do. We should probably take a coffee break. No, not yet, actually. Sorry. Let's install some more stuff, because that's just what we're doing right now. So we've got DocBook schemas installed. The next thing that we need to install is something called XML2, and that is not XML the number 2. It's XML2 as in XMLTO. XMLTO is a little tool that takes an XML file and converts it to HTML or FO or any number of different file formats. Both of those are fairly easy to install. The XML2 should probably be in your repository somewhere or already on your system. And again, it's XMLTO. You can probably find the source code. I'll look around for it and post it in the show notes. And then there's FOP, which is FOP. That's Frank Oscar Papa, and that is by Apache. So Apache, of course, you know from the web server and the license and lots of other stuff. Well, it turns out that they've got quite a bit of other stuff, including something to take an intermediate file format called FO or FO and turn it into a magical PDF. And when I say magical, I mean magical. I mean, it's got all the hyperlinks in it that work. You have a web URL in there. It will take that web URL and someone will click on it and it'll open up their browser on their machine and take them right to that page. It's got scalable vector fonts, scalable vector graphics. It's got everything you could ever want out of a PDF. It's very, very fancy, very, very cool. If I'm not mistaken, that's one of the tools that requires Java, some Java parts. So get ready for Java fun if you're going to do that. Now, FOP you'll only need if you're going to go out to PDF, but in my opinion, the PDF export is one of the cooler exports, so it's highly recommended. So if you have all those three things installed, the DocBook schemas, XML2, and FOP, then you're ready to create DocBook documents and manipulate them, turning them into really cool-looking websites and really cool-looking and acting PDFs. So let's first take a break before we get down to all that kind of work, and let's have a cup of coffee.
The Mountain Grown Coffee. Mountain Grown for better flavor.
All right, so you're back from your coffee. So am I. It's time to process some text, right? So far, you've already opened up your text editor and you've made a DocBook document. And once again, if you want to get kind of more familiar with the markup, go over to DocBook Crash Course, the ebook, and look through there. And they'll tell you a lot of the different tags that you've got available to you. And believe me, there are a lot of cool ones. I like to start simple. I just use like, 3 or 4 tags: book, chapter, title, and para. not a big deal. But as you get used to that, then you start throwing other things in, like some metadata here and there, like information about the author, about the licensing policy, maybe a summary or an abstract of the book, program listings, code examples, maybe some images, all kinds of cool things. So there's a lot that you can do in DocBook, but I don't want to overwhelm you and tell you all about them because that just seems a little bit premature right now. So again, one of the big advantages of DocBook for me is that you can sort of, if I can coin the phrase, or if I can borrow the phrase, you get to write once and read everywhere. Now it's text, right? I mean, that's not that unusual. But think about maybe how you used to do text. I mean, a lot of people before they knew about Linux and stuff would use a word processor for text. You know, maybe Word or maybe OpenOffice or maybe AppleWorks or ClarisWorks or I Work or whatever it's called. Lots of Pages is what it's called. So, you know, lots of people use different applications for essentially a really, really simple task of writing text. And unfortunately, a lot of those formats become outdated, or they are proprietary, or they just fall out of favor, and it becomes really hard to find something to open up a file. And believe me, this has happened to me plenty of times because used to be a Mac guy, used to use really obscure file formats and not really ever think about it. And now that I'm on Linux, sometimes I'm encountering files that, yeah, they were from like 3 years ago, but I mean, maybe I want to open them up and look at them. Well, too bad. If you don't run OS 10, or if you are unfortunate enough to be encountering a really old file, like on your parents' computers or something, and they want to open it up and they can't understand why an AppleWorks or a ClarisWorks file won't open up in, you know, such and such an application, yeah, that's really tough. So DocBook is a way to fight that kind of entropy, I guess. DocBook is plain text and it's a set of tags, and it's just not that hard to get that kind of thing open and to then even convert it. And if you think about it, even if DocBook falls out of favor and XML2 disappears and FOP goes away, you still have that plain text source right there. And the worst that you'll have to do is use Perl or Sed or something to go in and strip out all the now extraneous deprecated tags. Big deal. It's not that big of a deal, right? It's all open source. It's all free. You can do these kinds of things and it will open as plain text. So it's a huge, huge advantage over any kind of format, in my opinion. And to sweeten the deal, there are really cool tools that you can use to then take a DocBook marked up file and export it, like I say, to most notably HTML and PDF. So if you've ever been to the slackbook.org site, for instance, which is Alan Hicks's book on how to do Slackware, he wrote that in DocBook. And that's why you can read the book right there online, and it has the previous and the next links, and it's really easy to find your way around in there because there's all kinds of metadata saying, hey, if you're looking for information on this, then click this link, and it takes you straight to that chapter. And it's nice. And you can also download a PDF version of it, and what do you know, all those cool little links work there too. And it's a nice layout and all that. So that's the kind of robustness that DocBook provides you. There's more than that, in fact. I mean, I used to, in one of my day jobs, I actually write a lot in DocBook. So writing in DocBook, and then, you know, maybe you want just a quick export. You just want someone to proof something for you. You don't really want to have to go through you know, you don't want to have to give them the raw DocBook, but at the same time, you don't want to go and process the text and make it into a fancy PDF or anything. Well, there are a dozen scripts out there, dozens of scripts that will take raw DocBook and convert it to HTML, to .txt, to whatever you want. You know, it's super easy to get your text into whatever format you want it to be in. And even FOP by Apache now also is doing RTF. It's an experimental feature right now, but I've played a little bit around with it, and yeah, it works. So it's a really cool format. It's one of those that, I mean, I'm just totally sold on it. I'm really happy with it. So now you are too. So now we can talk about how exactly you do something with this fancy DocBook file that you've just created with your little book tag and your chapter tag and your title tag. Okay. So essentially, you've got your source code now in some directory, right? Your source code would be this DocBook document that you've created. So if you want to save it as 01.xml, Now it's an XML file. Well, it's always been an XML file, but now it knows it's an XML file and something that we can manipulate with a fancy tool. Well, the first thing that you need to do is make sure that it's got a docbook header in it. And this is like in XHTML, because it is XML, and it wants that identifier at the front of the file that says, hey, this is what I am, and you should look in this folder at this particular schema to know how to translate me or know how to process me. That header is basically the standard XML header that you're going to see at the top of every XHTML document you ever look at. I mean, the ones that validate and that are correct and stuff. And that is open bracket, or the little less than sign, exclamation mark, all in caps, doc type, and then space, the word article, space, all in caps, public, space, quote, dash, slash, slash, oasis, slash, slash, delta, tango, delta, space, doc book, space, XML, space v dot or v x dot x dot x, that would be the version of docbook that you're using, slash slash en end quotation mark, and then space quote the path to your docbook, your docbook path. So it could be anything. It could be slash usr slash share slash I don't know xml slash docbook slash schemas slash 4.5 dot docbook x dot xml close quote. Close the bracket. That's your header. Now DocBook will, you know, when you go to process it, everyone will know what exactly, what kind of document this is, and what to do, which schema you want to use again with this document. If you download the DocBook Crash Course, you'll find that header right there, and you can use their header. So that's the header, and you put that at the front of your DocBook document. If we just have a single file, it starts with the header, and then it opens the book tag, it does the chapter, it does the para, closes chapter, closes the book, then that's your DocBook file. And so I like to isolate my source code in its own directory. So if you want to do like a make dir DocBook-lessons, and then move that XML file in there, that's a good idea. Because we're gonna, it becomes your build environment. So you cd into that directory, and you make, let's go ahead and make, just in anticipation of what we're about to do, make two different directories. Make dir HTML and make dir PDF. And now you've got your first DocBook document, 01.xml. You've got your HTML directory and your PDF directory. So let's do HTML first. And the cool thing about this HTML thing is that it's going to make it into a really nice looking website with all of its little links still intact and all the graphics that you want and all that good stuff. It's a really nice way to turn your book into essentially an ebook for online reading. So the command is xml2 space html space 01.xml, assuming that's your input file, space dash o space dot slash html. So breaking that command down, XML2 is the command, and that is, again, XMLTO, space HTML, so that's the format that you want to end up in, space 01.xml, that's your input file, so that's the file that you, that's your docbook file, space dash O, space dot slash HTML, that means dump all the output files into a directory called HTML, which, by the way, exists in the current directory. So if you do that, it will look through your DocBook file, translate everything into HTML. It will create a nice little index page and a table of contents if that's applicable, and all this other cool stuff, and dump it into your HTML directory. And if you go into the HTML directory and launch Conker and look around in that HTML directory, you'll find out how nice it is. I mean, right now we've only got one file and one chapter and stuff, so it's not going to be that big of a deal. But if you kind of expanded that and made it something more complex with lots of chapters and maybe some sections and an article and all these other things, then you would see how very, very cool it is. And again, for a good example of that, you can go to slackbook.org. So that's HTML. And that, I mean, see, that's pretty easy. Once you have your environment set up, it's just a question of writing your document, making sure you've done your DocBook markup, and then processing it with XML, too, and it's done. Now, the PDF export is a little bit more complex. It's two steps instead of one step. So first, you do process it with XML2. So that's XML2, that's T-O, space F-O, as in Frank Oscar, space 01.xml space dash o space dot slash pdf. So again, breaking that down, XML2 is the command, FO, Frank Oscar, that is an intermediate file that says, I can't go out to PDF yet, but here's all the information that you need to end up as PDF. So that's an FO file. And then space 01.xml is your input file, and then space dash O space dot slash PDF, that's saying, put my output file in my PDF directory. Easy enough. And if you run that command, it will process the docbook file, and it will, again, end up with a very nice little 01.fo in your PDF directory. So now it's time to use FOP. FOP's main job in life is to take an FO file and process it. It does PDF. I believe it does maybe PostScript, and it does RTF, and it probably does a lot more, but the PDF is really what I use. RTF is a fairly new feature. I've played around with it, but I don't really need it, so I don't really use it. But FOP is about as easy as XML2, to be honest, and the command is FOP space dot slash PDF slash 01.fo. That would be our input file. And then space dot slash PDF slash 01.pdf. That would be our output file. And you hit return, and it processes, sure enough, the 01.fo that we just made with XML2, and it spits out a PDF. And if you open up that PDF, you'll be amazed. It's a beautiful, beautiful document. It scales, and it renders properly, and it's got all the hyperlinks in it, and just everything. And I mean everything you could ever want out of a PDF. It's very, very cool. So that's the magic of FOP, and it's free software from Apache. In fact, this whole tool chain has been free software. It's really, really cool way of publishing stuff with free software on free OS. It's incredible. I'm really excited about this stuff. It's really incredible. I mean, typically to do this kind of quality of work, everyone out there is going to tell you that you need Adobe or something like that. So this is really neat stuff. And like I say, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's DocBook in a nutshell, sort of. It's that simple. You write a markup language, a document in the markup language, and then you use one or two tools to process that text and translate those markup tags into some other thing, and you end up with stuff that looks really, really nice and professional. Now, I could go on and on about some of the metadata options that you've got, all the cool graphic things that you've got available to you, little hacks that I do to make this workflow a little bit easier and a lot more portable, little hacks that I do to give myself nice, pretty cover art, just all those kinds of neat things. But I feel like I've probably inundated you with about as much information as you're going to want to hear right now, so I will end this episode. However, in the next episode, we will talk more about DocBook and some cool little hacks to make it so that you can automate a lot of this stuff with like makefiles and shell scripts and really neat things like that. So that's what we'll talk about next episode, as well as definitely a few other things. And next episode's the end of the season, so get ready for it. Until then, this has been Klaatu, and I can be reached at klaatu@member.fsf.org or klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org. I can also be found on the web at thebadapples.info and in IRC as not Klaatu, usually in Ogcast Planet, for instance, sometimes in Slacker Media as well, and also via Instant Messenger, which would be not Klaatu, at jabber.org. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.